I want to first of all say hello to everybody, including those on Zoom. It's good to see you. Good to have you a part of this family. And also to those who may look at these videos at a later time, welcome. I want to thank Paul for his special music. We get coupled together. I was mentioning that a lot. I mean, we mentioned that before services. And it always brings back memory of my aunt who used to play accordion, and she passed away when I was very young. But I still remember every time Paul plays, I can still see her on the couch playing the accordion. So I tried to play it as well because she was a very kind, wonderful lady. I got basically on top of Old Smoky Down, and this big accordion of hers that I couldn't move. So I gave up pretty quickly on it. So I appreciate Paul's work and effort. It's not easy having your fingers doing different things at the same time. I couldn't master it, so thank you very much. Just an update on how we're going with rebuilding. You go one step forward, one step sideways, one step sideways again, and one step forward. So we had to have a survey done of our property because we have an easement. That we had to make sure where the easement was before we could submit plans for rebuilding. That took a bit of time, but we finally got that done. We have to move things a little bit by 11 inches, believe it or not, but that's life. We just wanted to make sure we're doing it right. So we're progressing. It's a lesson in tedium and patience, but also it's been a real lesson of the support of so many. I cannot thank people enough for your prayers, for your thoughts of encouragement. In fact, I was outside just from so many. I was outside the other day and someone drove by with the truck and said, "You lost your home, right?" And he just kindly gave some words of encouragement. And it's been amazing. You know, people are made in the image of God, and you can see it in times of challenges and for people. So thank you very much for all you have done. So I believe we can all agree that planning for the future is a wise and responsible part of life. We can't predict every outcome. We have been given the ability, however, to think ahead, to plan, prepare, and ultimately we have to make decisions along that way. And the scriptures encourages us not to live recklessly or without purpose, but to approach life intentionally. We can see in Proverbs 21, verse 5, that the plans of the diligent surely lead to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes to poverty. And this verse notes that careful planning leads to fruitful results, while impulsiveness can lead to hardship. God honors diligence and thoughtful preparation, especially when it's done in alignment with His will. Planning for the future is just not about one's goals or one's milestones. It's about stewardship. We can understand that stewardship is the responsible care and management of the resources, time and opportunity God has entrusted to us. For many of us, we think of stewardship, we think of it with regard to financial planning, setting aside resources, setting aside time for planning for potential challenges and potentially hardships that may come along the way. And that's proper. It is part of stewardship. It is part of a biblical principle we are to live. But while financial planning relates to stewardship, it also includes time. How do we manage our time? Managing our hours and our days wisely, we prioritize what truly matters. Our talents and skills, and we use our talents to serve others and contribute meaningfully to our families, to our congregation, to our communities, to all those we interact with. Our health. We take care of ourselves as best we can through proper nutrition and rest and exercise. And we remember that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Relationships. We nurture healthy relationships. We steward them as roles of family members, as friends, as co-workers, and those we meet in the community. We practice stewardship with environment. We take care of God's creation, and we're mindful of how we use natural resources and how we treat the earth. Spiritual gifts. We actively use the spiritual gifts God has given us to build up one another in advance of the kingdom. And opportunities, recognizing that wisely acting on open doors and chances along that come along our way is an example of stewardship, of redeeming the time. Each of these areas reflects a part of life where we, each one of us, no matter how young, how old we are, if we can honor God through intentional and faithful management. However, while preparing and planning and stewardship was essential, we can't possibly control every outcome. Try as we might to control things from our end, sometimes things just don't happen the way we planned. In other words, though we try to plan our future, though we try to plan our finances, we try to plan our health and do the best we can with that. As much as we have hopes for our families, things may happen that throw that planning in disarray. I would like to read from Psychology Today, The Problem with Control, Unveiling a Hidden Source of Anxiety and Stress, updated January 3rd, 2024 by Monica Willhauer, PhD. Control, or rather seeking to have control, is a form of anxiety. It is rooted in the default and often unconscious belief or feeling that I'm not going to be okay, or that things are not going to be okay. When this is your default belief, perhaps because of life experiences of which things felt scarily out of your control and led to loss, chaos, instability, or despair, you may have adopted one of the two coping mechanisms in an attempt to feel that you or things will be okay. And the article goes on and mentions that people try to control their environment through rigid expectations or over-preparation, and thus results in an inability to relax. And people are driven by the unconscious belief that things have to go a certain way in order to feel safe. Alternatively, the article notes that one may anticipate and try to plan on every possible negative outcome and make backup detail plans, obsess over backup detail plans, believing that if they are prepared, that will protect them from uncertainty. Going back to the article, the problem. So what's the problem with these strategies? They do not work. There will always be things outside of your control. You will never be able to fully control your own external environment, no matter how hard you try. Moreover, none of us are fortune tellers. We cannot know the future, no matter how much we think and plan ahead. Things do go wrong and bad things happen. And when they do, you need to determine what to do based on the information available to you in that moment. These are details you cannot know in advance. In general, the things we plan for are not the things that go wrong. And the things that go wrong are not the things we plan for. More importantly, though, the problem with control is that it fully externalizes the conditions under which you can't be okay. It bases your well-being on factors outside of you. the one place where you have no control. In other words, for all of your efforts to be in control, it is not control you're gaining, only stress and anxiety. How often do we stress over or have anxiety about things that are really beyond our control? We plan, we work, and we make decisions. We try to be thoughtful with the use of our time, how we allocate finances, doing what we can to maintain our health, what we eat, and how we exercise. And these actions are a part of the stewardship, reflecting God's character in our daily lives. And personal growth, hard work, and responsible living are all good things that often lead to blessings and stability. In this sense, a measure of control and an initiative is not only good, but necessary in fulfilling our God-given responsibilities. However, self-sufficiency and control fall short when it becomes the foundation of our security, the foundation of our identity. We live in a world that often feels unpredictable. We see the news that's going on in the world around us. There's so much uncertainty. There's so much uncertainty even in our own lives. What the future will hold. We can plan, but what will it hold? And there's no amount of preparation that can shield us completely from disappointment, from loss, or unexpected change. And despite our best efforts to plan, to organize, and protect every area of our lives, we are regularly reminded that we're not in control of everything. The gap between what we're responsible for and what we can control leaves us feeling sometimes anxious, sometimes frustrated, maybe even at times fearful. Yet there's a sense of peace that is available as we plan our lives, as we prepare for the future, not in holding on tighter, not in over-planning, but actually in learning to release. This brings us to the topic I would like to cover today in the title of this message, Letting Go What We Cannot Control. And we'll cover this topic by exploring the following. Trying to control everything puts us under a burden that we, every one of us, were never meant to carry. Secondly, peace of mind does not come from tighter control, but from. And then finally, three practical applications of letting go what we cannot control. So let's begin with the first point. Trying to control everything puts us under a burden we were never meant to carry. The Bible teaches us that trusting only in our own strength is both misguided and burdensome. Turn to Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. And it states, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. This verse reminds us to shift our dependence from ourselves to God. When we surrender the need to control everything and place our trust in God, we will discover a peace and stability that our efforts cannot provide. Trying to manage everything ourselves can lead to exhaustion, can lead to frustration, can lead to discouragement, can lead to depression. But placing things in God's hands after we do our part brings clarity and rest. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. It states, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Here Paul is inviting us to let go of our anxious efforts and instead approach God with trust. Rather than clinging to control, rather than trying to do it all ourselves, we are called to first be thankful for what we have, what we've been blessed with. And then we pray and trust and rest in God's peace. We know that God's ultimately in charge, but he's also given us the ability and the responsibility to make choices. We're not just passive participants in life. Our decisions do matter. And Scripture emphasizes the role of human will and discipline and obedience in our journey. Let's take a look at a few scriptures that demonstrate this. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. States in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live." God gives us the freedom to choose the path we walk. The people of Israel were presented clear options. Obedience leads to life, or disobedience that leads to utter destruction. God desires that we choose life, but our hand is not forced. And this reveals a key aspect of God-given control. We individually are the moral agents capable of choosing right from wrong. Every choice brings results, whether positive or negative. Galatians 6, verse 7. Galatians 6, verse 7. Galatians 6, verse 7 states, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap." Here is the principle of personal responsibility. We individually are control of our actions. We choose what to invest our life into, whether good or bad, and that will determine many times what we receive in return. The passage reinforces the idea that we cannot control all outcomes. However, we are responsible for, we can control what we sow. In other words, our habits, our words, our actions shape much of our lived experience. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, 7. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 states, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." A sound mind is marked by the ability to make thoughtful and sound decisions, even in the midst of uncertainty, even in the midst of pressure. Doesn't mean we will never feel anxiety or guilt, but we are not controlled by those emotions. Rather than reacting impulsively or rationally, we are given the capacity to respond with reason and faith. The quality of mind is closely tied to self-control, as found in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, when it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Through the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are enabled to regulate the emotions and align our thoughts to God. James 4, verse 13. James 4, verse 13. James 4, verse 13 states, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." The passage reminds us that life is short, precious, and we evaluate our plans with the idea of God being there, that God is our partner, watching us, guiding us. By acknowledging, if the Lord wills, we align our goals with God's greater purpose. And as a result, we find peace in his guidance. The desire to control is a very natural human impulse. But we have to recognize that at times it originates from fear. Fear of failure. Fear of loss. Fear of the unknown. When circumstances in life feel unstable or unpredictable, we instinctively, what do we want to do? We want to take charge, believing that if we can manage every outcome, we can avoid pain, we can avoid disappointment, we can avoid failure. The truth is, we were never designed to carry the full weight of our lives on our own shoulders. The more we attempt to do so, the more we will find ourselves overwhelmed, anxious, spiritually exhausted, spiritually frustrated. Which brings us to our second point. Peace of mind does not come from tighter control, but from. So to begin this point, let's turn to Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. It states, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This isn't just a promise of relief. It's a promise of spiritual partnership. When we walk with Jesus Christ, we're not expected to carry what we cannot bear. Letting go of control and surrendering our burdens is not a weakness. It's an act of faith, trusting that God is strong enough to carry what we are unable to. The rest he gives isn't the absence of hardship. It's the presence of peace. Knowing that in our struggles, in our hardship, in our trials, in our challenges, we are not alone. Godly wisdom begins when we recognize our own limitations and choose to depend on God's guidance instead of our own instincts, our own rationale, our own intellect, which we have built, achieved. Christ doesn't just give us himself. He does one more thing. He gives us each other on this journey we are on. We are created. The church is formed for community, not isolation. We are called to walk alongside one another, to encourage one another, to support one another, and to lift each other up when life is heavy. Galatians 6, verses 2 to 3. Galatians 6, verses 2 to 3. It states, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he's self to be something, but he is nothing, he deceives himself. God in his wisdom and love often chooses to meet our needs through others, through the presence of others. Whether that's a timely conversation, shared prayer, or someone praying for us, or just a quiet moment, we sit down together and one just listens. In moments when we feel unsure or anxious or weary, the love and compassion of those around us become a tangible reminder of God's nearness and care. My wife and I have experienced that. And we are so thankful. It is through the hands and voices of others that we often feel his presence most clearly. This deep mutual support is rooted in the biblical concept of koinonia, a Greek word that speaks to an intimate fellowship and spiritual connection that we all have with one another. Koinonia is more than just surface level. It's more than just conversations. It's more than just activities together. It's a spiritual partnership grounded in shared faith, shared purpose, shared love. We know that in Acts 2, verse 42, the early church devoted themselves to koinonia, gathering together in unity to learn, to pray, to break bread, and to care for each other's needs. This kind of Christ-centered fellowship is what sustains us, and truly it does, through life's uncertainties. It nurtures a space where honesty is welcome, struggles are shared, tears flow, and kindness flows freely. In koinonia, no one walks alone. We are a living expression of God's love to one another. So as we practice letting go, acknowledging our limits, we also embrace the truth that it's okay. That's even necessary at times to share our burden with one another. There's a caution. We need to use wisdom on whom we share our thoughts. We don't want to burden someone who is unable to handle the matter. In Christ's body, each part supports the other. We all different parts of the body, but we are one body. We're ensuring that no one carries the weight alone. As we journey together through faith, humility, and trust, we discover that peace and resilience are not only found in our relationship and in solitude with God, but it's the relationship we have with one another. The fellowship of believers that God has blessed us with. Through community, we experience the beauty of both being supported and supported, strengthened by God and strengthened by one another. Ultimately, surrendering control is an act of worship. We may not think of it that way, but it's a way to worship God, to give up control. It invites Jesus Christ to lead, to protect, and to provide way beyond our limited vision. Control can provide an illusion of security, but only God can deliver true peace. Letting go doesn't mean everything will all of a sudden get better, that everything will be easy, that we won't have troubles, that we won't have trials. They won't just go away when we let go, but we no longer have to carry it by ourselves. We don't have the burden and the weight of trying to hold life together on our own. We release control and lean into God's care, and we'll discover the peace that comes through God. Thus, to complete the point, we would state as follows. Peace of mind does not come from tighter control, but from having a relationship with Jesus Christ and drawing strength from each other. We may understand the call to trust God and release control of things that are beyond our ability to manage to Him. But what does that look like in our daily lives? So let's examine three practical applications of letting go what we cannot control. The first is be realistic about what we can and cannot control. What we can and control in our lives, we should. And it's not that everything is out of control either. There are things we can control. To obtain an education, to plan. Let's look at some examples of what we can control. Our outlook on life. We can choose to be positive, patient, and kind, but in spite of our circumstances. Our reactions. How do we respond to stress or criticism or challenges? That's a choice. Our effort. How hard did we try? Even when results are not guaranteed. Our words, what we say and how we say them, that's under our control. Our boundaries, what we allow into our lives, including who we spend time with, what we read, what we watch. We have ability to control these and other things in our lives. Turn to Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23. Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. And I'd like to read from the New Living Translation, which I'll put on the screen. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. This verse highlights the traits and the behaviors that are within our control. The choices we make, the attitudes we nurture, the habits we live by through God's guidance. We should spend time thinking about things we can actually control in our lives, things that really are within our power to make, ensuring that they align with God's purpose for us. What are the things we cannot control? Other people's actions or opinions. We cannot control what others think or say about us, or their decisions, their behaviors, their emotions. We might be able to influence, but we cannot control. The past, the exact future outcome of things. What's already happened cannot be changed, even though somehow we wish we could. And so we relive it again and again in our minds. Likewise, we can plan for the future, but it doesn't mean that it's going to happen as we are planning, and we need to be realistic about that. Unexpected events, illness, accidents, natural disasters. Another thing, we cannot control are other people's beliefs or thoughts or feelings. We cannot control other people's beliefs, thoughts, and feelings because they're shaped by their own experiences, their own perspective, their own choices, not by our actions and our desire. We can influence others through our actions. We can show the love of God in our life through our actions. But ultimately, it is up to that individual. They believe what they think or what their feelings are. The weather. Just making a point here. Just as much as we can't control the weather, there are some things we just can't control. And we have to be realistic about that. Matthew 6, verse 34. I once again want to read from the New Living Translation. Matthew 6, verse 34. It states, "So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring on its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." This verse summarizes the idea of letting go of things that are beyond our control, such as the future, others' actions or circumstances that we just cannot change. It calls us to live fully in the present and trust God with the rest. Second application I would like us to consider is limit exposure to stress triggers. Another application of letting go of what we cannot control is to limit exposure to stress triggers. This means identifying the media, conversations, environments that consistently create stress, anxiety, or a sense of being overwhelmed in our lives, like toxic news cycles, social media accounts that sometimes make us feel drained and inadequate. Once identified, take practical steps, set time limits, unfollow, mute, unsubscribe, delete as needed. By doing this, we're not burying our heads in the sand and ignoring reality. We just choose not to be consumed by it. We are called to guard our hearts and our minds, and constant exposure to negativity can erode us. It can erode us emotionally. It can erode us spiritually. So by guarding our thoughts, monitoring what enters into our minds will help us stay grounded, focused, and emotionally present. And reducing these stresses free up the mental and emotional space so we can concentrate on what we can influence. Our actions, our relationships, our walk with God, our peace of mind. It's a small but significant way to regain control in an often chaotic world. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, verse 23. What do we let in our minds? What does influences? What makes us emotional? Proverbs 4, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Do we think about that? We're to guard our hearts and minds, protect it. That is what God expects us to do. Third application, use if-then planning to reduce mental overload or emotional overload. One of the greatest causes of stress is not knowing how to respond when life takes an unexpected turn. That's where if-then planning becomes a valuable tool. It's thinking ahead and assessing that if something happens, then I will do this. It helps us to think through possible outcomes ahead of time and form grounded responses rather than knee-jerk reactions to the moment. Let's go through some examples. I'm sure you can think of many more. If we hear that we might be part of a potential layoff of our job, then we take the opportunity to update our resume. If we do get laid off, then we use the severance wisely and explore new career paths that we might have been putting on hold. Another example, if people misunderstand or judge us besides our good intentions, then we will resist the urge to over-explain, stay true to godly values, and let go of the need to control how others think of us. Or because we live in Southern California, if we have a significant earthquake, then we can access our emergency supplies and document any damage for insurance and recovery efforts. Having a plan doesn't solve everything, but it can provide stability and peace of mind when emotions are running high and outcomes are uncertain. This type of planning doesn't mean we control everything either. It means we approach uncertainty with thoughtfulness rather than fear, rather than knee-jerk reactions. Having these if-then responses thought out, to think them through, reduces the emotional pressure to come up with situations at the heat of the moment. It frees your mind from cycling through worst-case scenarios without a plan, and it helps build a posture of readiness. It doesn't erase the difficulty, but it adds structure to the chaos. The goal isn't to worry about things that could go wrong, but to guide our mind towards a healthy response if it ever does. The kind of stewardship is a way to take care of our minds, to provide peace of mind. It's a way to take care of our relationships, and it's a way to act wisely and thoughtfully and godly under pressure. Proverbs 21, verse 5. Proverbs 21, verse 5. It states, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those who is hasty surely to poverty. But those of everyone who is hasty surely lead to poverty. This verse emphasizes thoughtful planning, not controlling every outcome, but walking forward with preparation. If then helps us to reflect, helps us to pause, helps us to think, instead of rushing headlong into panic. Today's message, we focused on letting go what we cannot control. When we begin to believe that our success, our security, our peace depends on our own planning and effort, we're beginning to step into dangerous territory. This mindset subtly convinces us that just with the right strategy or just with hard work, we can predict and protect us against every outcome. Life has far too many moving parts, variables that we cannot account for. Believing we can control it all will only do one thing. It will exhaust us. It will wear us down. It will frustrate us. And it sets us up for deep disappointment when things don't go according to plan. Reality eventually catches up with all of us. A sudden diagnosis that's unexpected. The loss of a job. A broken relationship. Or a disaster like a wildfire can shake everything we thought was stable. These moments can reveal that Control is often more an illusion than truth. While planning is wise, and I do not want to discourage planning and thoughtful planning, if there, it's wise, and it's important, it's practicing stewardship. These crises of life show how fragile life is. When we begin to place our trust in God and solely it change from solely relying on ourselves, we'll have a change in perspective. Our efforts will be less about striving for control and spending time and effort to try to control everything, and more about staying in step with Jesus Christ at our side as we navigate life's twists and turns. We still need to make the effort to wisely plan and act with intention, but we release the pressure of having to guarantee the results. This produces a calm confidence that not only grounds us internally, but also becomes a visible testimony to those around us. We become a light to the world. In a world that defines strength by control, choosing to trust God in uncertain times reveals really a deeper kind of courage. This courage is built not thinking we are in control, but walking with Jesus Christ through the unknown. To conclude, I'd like to read from Proverbs 5 or 6, New Living Translation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Have a great remainder of the Sabbath.